Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kieran Mazaria, CEO of Cadence Minerals. KDNC is ticker there. Kieran, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure as always, Justin.
Yeah, and you've just released your interim results for 6 months ended the 30th of June. So we'll talk about what you've achieved in that period and hopefully what you're going to achieve coming up in the next 6 months maybe, and other subjects too. Before we do that, Kieran, for people maybe a little bit familiar or not familiar with Cadence, just explain your operations and the business if you could, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cadence is an investment company. We invest in the private and private sector and in public markets. Our main focus is the investment in renewable resources, so the resources and the critical metals that are associated with the electrification of vehicular transport. So that will be lithium and rare earth minerals. Plus, we have some exposure to iron ore, which are sort of incredibly important in the development of those assets, as well as a basic material that's utilized in construction around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so. Talk us through, if you could. I know you've done a lot, and reading your RNS there's a lot of subject material to read. But if you could break that down, take us through the key highlights you've achieved then, Kieran, of the last 6 months from up to June, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we set ourselves three goals during these next six months, and we sort of telegraphed that and announced that before the beginning of the year. The first goal was to vest our 27% into the Amapa iron ore project, which is a substantial deposit in Brazil. That was achieved in March 2022. That's a that was previously valued by Anglo American $660 million, $660 million, and it's a rehabilitation project of an existing iron ore mine, railway, and port. So that was the first goal. We achieved that in March 2022. We then, we raised capital, capital to get that 7%, and the second goal was to advance the PFS. And although PFS work had already commenced in 2021, the raising of $3.5 million allowed us to fully fund the remainder of the PFS. And we now expect that PFS ready to be in Q4 this year, including an updated MRE and ore reserve estimate. Mm-hmm. A final goal, which was something that we'd stated, is that we saw value in our private assets. We have, several private assets. And we saw value that we could actually create more value by either selling them or trading in them for a share in the public market. So that's what we've done. We have two of the three. The first one is Lithium Technologies and Lithium Supplies, which we vended into a public vehicle, which is a specific purpose of a lithium vehicle, which is specific purpose to acquire lithium assets, called Evergreen Lithium. We sold that in for £1.92 million into that vehicle in shares. So we own around 13.2% of that asset or Evergreen Lithium. And if they're successful, we could receive, on certain performance measures, guess a further £2.1 million worth of shares. What's really interesting about this project is its proximity to Core Lithium. Core Lithium and Charger Metals. Core Lithium has got a capitalization of about $1.4 billion and has been very successful identifying a substantial hard rock lithium deposit in the Northern Territories of Australia. So that's why we are really interested in this project. And rather than developing it ourselves, raising the capital, on the AIM market, which really is not really appreciating lithium stocks so much. We thought a dedicated team that was already funded with $6 million in the bank to develop this asset would be the best thing. So we would, you know, they're listing. We certainly expect them to list this year. So that's going to be something that we look forward to. So Evergreen Lithium, we basically bought that, bought our consideration in shares, and cash was just about £800,000. And, you know, the return on that, we're getting 1.9 million plus another, possibly another 2.1 million. So that's sort of a up to a 300 or 400% return on that. Then the other asset is Hastings Technology Metals. So we had some joint venture licenses around a rare earth deposit in Australia called the Yangabana Rare Earth Deposit. We agreed a sale price on that, again, for equity into Hastings Technology Metals for $9 million or $9 million Australian dollars, so about £5.5 million. We agreed that at the end of June. And our purchase price was about £900,000. So again, a really good return on that. And that still has to be waited to be completed. They've got to do an AGM. And so once that's all completed, we will then have roughly 3% or just below 3% of Hastings Technology Metals, you know, a listed liquid company. We're probably looking to get into production of rare earth metals into 2022. So as you can see, what we've done is we've had these two private assets. We've invested some money in them, nurtured them, or been part of a joint venture where the other partners nurtured them. They're effectively illiquid. We've then traded them into a liquid stock, hopefully in both Hastings Technologies and Evergreen Lithium Limited, and in the process increased their value. And if some of these lithium stocks, for example, you know, perform really well, there's probably further value being created in those assets. So we really look forward to those completing, and really look forward to seeing how Evergreen does when it lists on the ASX. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what we've done. Those were three goals that we really set ourselves to do, and we achieved them during the period.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned there that lithium doesn't seem to be, you know, being appreciated on AIM. And why is that? And where is it? I mean, are you saying in the Australian markets it is being appreciated? And tell us why you think that is. If you have an answer there, I don't know if you do.
Well, I can tell you why the Australian market generally understands resources and values resources at a much higher multiple, both iron ore and lithium, because it's on their doorstep. They have a very good understanding of many of these lithium assets, and they have and you can just see when you look at these hard rock lithium assets coming to the market, or even brines in Chile, we see much more value being created. And even in this market, oversubscriptions of new IPOs on lithium stocks. So Charger Metals recently did a placing which was oversubscribed to develop their assets. So there's much more. And of course, they have an economy that's different than AIM at this point in time. Mm. You know, they've had through lockdown, there's so much cash flowing around through the amount of money generated in the iron ore stocks and lithium stocks. They were, you know, they've done very well in that period as an overall economic environment, while Britain, unfortunately, because of its service economy, hasn't fared as well as a sort of a basic or primary as a basic resource economy, which, to be fair, you know, over lockdown, over the COVID period, and now Australia has been predominantly dominated by in terms of GDP. So there's much more of appreciation of resource stocks in Australia at this point in time. And I think, you know, the overall UK general market sentiment has meant that, you know, there's been a sell-off of everything, anything that's, you know, got a potential risk to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, so looking forward then, Kieran, you know, what are the key milestones? What are you hoping to achieve next 6 months?
So the next 6 months, the rest of this year primarily, is we certainly hope to see that Evergreen Lithium Limited is listed, and we'll see how they perform and begin their exploration drilling program and sort of drive up to sort of get a target. Well, we hope sort of a substantial deposit, you know, over 5 million tons of lithium oxide at one point above 1.2% lithium oxide. So 5 million tons of ore at above 1.2% lithium oxide. That's what we would hope, because that's a substantial deposit and similar to the Finnish lithium project at Core Lithium. So that will be a really lovely thing for them to start drilling. Our completion of Hastings, so actually getting the stock of Hastings onto our books, so that can then reflect, rather than on our books of £900,000, it will reflect £5.5 million, therefore increasing value. And the other critical thing, which is a mapper, is delivering the fundamentals there. So a new mineral resource estimate, we're having to update that because the old one is now considered historic. We hope to see an improvement in the mineral resource through that mineral resource estimate, a new ore reserve estimate, which hasn't been done, and then the PFS, which defines the economic parameters and value of our investment into Amapa. So those three things, again, I suppose, getting achieved in the next coming months would be an ideal position for us to be in, which would then hopefully reflect in value in Cadence's share price.
Yeah, well, hopefully in this market, who knows? I mean, you know, just saying it's been an awful, one of the worst starts of the year globally, and, you know, fears are sort of baked in. I mean, I can't see, you know, it carrying on because we're so bearish. And just even looking at AIM, I mean, just looking at some of the stats, and there's something called a 200-day moving average on a chart, which is largely regarded as the bull bear line. Everything above it is a bit bullish. The trend is up, below is down. Now, there are 80, what is it? Let me just check. 80, yeah, let me just go through this. I'll check the exact stats here. But 84% of AIM stocks are now below that 200-day moving average. And only 16% are above. And to me, that's a contrarian indicator. You know, it suggests that that ratio can't go a lot lower, a lot higher on the negative side. So I know, even though the sentiment is gloomy, but markets tend to rally there, and, you know, isn't worst case scenario priced in? You know, pretty much. You know, what are we pricing in here? We're talking about something bigger than the great financial crash at the moment, the way the markets are selling off. So, yeah, I think, and if you look at the stats on returns after these kind of sell offs, they're very positive, you know, over the next 6, 12, 3 years even. So hopefully the share price will affect, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, ultimately we have been. We've been affected by that as well. Mm. So even though when we look at those returns that we've achieved and delivered those over the last 6 months, our price has depreciated considerably. And that's partly because we have both an exposure to, as we mentioned, the lithium market in the UK is not necessarily sometimes as the preachers of Australia. So even though European Metals Holdings, which is a really excellent deposit, and we have about 8% of 8% of that, and it's developing through its DFS. It's got a great partner in terms of CES in the Czech Republic, mm-hmm. and it's strategically located in Europe, which is probably going to be the second largest gigafactory market in the world, and will be one of the largest adopters of electric vehicles, bar China and America. It's still, you know, its value has gone down substantially, despite the actual product value still staying as high. So, you know, our losses, you know, this year or this 6 months has been almost entirely down to
sentiment.
Sentiment on European metals, which has dropped, and that's dropped our share price as well. On top of that, we have had a change. I mean, there is this so that doesn't make sense. There's really no macroeconomic reason why that should make sense, because as I've said beforehand, is that, yes, let's say we are going, you know, there is an overall slowing down of the world economy and the macro environment. Nonetheless, lithium is utilized to replace an incumbent technology. So even if there's a slowdown in car buying, there is still not enough supply coming onto the market to fulfill those obligations. We barely may have enough lithium at the moment to, you know, provide enough for electric vehicles. As people will know, there's a 9-month delay on electric vehicles because there isn't enough raw product. Yeah. So that's all there's a fundamental reason there why, you know, pricing's wrong on EMH.
And then,
you know, iron ore has gone down because there is a slowdown in the economy. There is a worry about China, so and so forth. So iron ore has come off from $220 last year, and it's now sitting at around the $100 mark for 65%, and below $100 mark for 62% benchmark. So there is that nervousness, and so I can understand you know, some sell off because of that. But you got to remember that our project, you know, our belief, it's fundamentally got some great value when you have it valued at 600 million NPV, 600 million sale price by Anglo American, or the valuation of 600 million when iron ore prices were lower. So,
yeah,
I suppose the PFS will prove us out on that as well when we publish it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so in summary, 3 points. If you could, three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please, Kieran.
Yep. So Cadence Minerals is involved in the right sector in the right time, being the lithium and rare earth sectors. We've got two really positive results that should be coming out, that being the listing of Evergreen Lithium and our consideration for the rare earth deposit in Australia. And thirdly, you know, our interest in Amapa, which we have invested in, as I said beforehand, at a very low value, 27% for $6 million. When it was valued some time ago by Anglo American at $600 million or $660 million, and we have a PFS coming out, you know, this year, which should show that that value is there, and hopefully that'll be reflected in our share price as well.
Yeah, yeah, more stuff. Kieran, good to chat to you, and hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.